felt like I lost myself with trying to put on the mask of being a thug, being an athlete, and all these things where there are little parts that you love about it. But at the end of it, you're really trying to find out who you are and what is your purpose on this earth. So I think those are the things that sort of pigeonholed me into trying to be a thug or this idea, this tough guy and selling drugs and all of these things, because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be liked and loved. And I felt like this environment gave me all of those things that I was looking for.
We are recording, and today we're going to have a short episode, like a teaser, hopefully. And we're going to manage to meet again. This is like the third trial. I'm with a very busy man on the other side from whom I learned the sentence, today is a glorious day. For 86,400 seconds, I will give my excellence and my best until I lay to rest. I'm abundantly blessed and never stress. God bless. Is that about right, James?
That's about right. I added a little bit to it after that. I added, and never ever rest on your last success. Check your life, be limitless. You know, because I feel like a lot of times we get so caught up with our worldly successes or think that we've arrived or we're good or we're this or that and it's over. We're none of those things. We're everything and we're nothing. You know, so to me, it's all about how can you stay neutral and constantly stay fluid, but expand yourself to go beyond whatever limitations you put in your mind or people put on you. So that's the concept.
I met you 4 years ago at Samodiva retreat, and you're one of the speakers, and that's where the sentence first came into my life, into my awareness. You were a speaker or coach, or I don't remember how it was set up. It was all mingled with and with the teachers. You have been writing a book, at least one. I don't know if you have written more. And
I have four. Yeah,
four books. Okay, I know one is Unmask Yourself. I think
it's From Thug to Scholar, Unmask Your True Potential. You know, so basically talking about how we all wear masks in our society when we try to buy into being a part of this world.
Yes. And the other thing is, yeah, so you have been a dean. So, I mean, the whole story from you, so I have to be careful not to try to push too much into the 20 minutes we have today. When I met you, you shared your story from the streets where you almost got killed. You actually were searching for it. Then you became a professional American football player. And now you have, I don't know, PhDs, doctors, and you go around the world teaching, speaking, writing books. You have your own podcast, Be Limitless. But let's find out, who is this James? How would you describe yourself for this teaser in three adjectives, and why you would use those adjectives?
I don't even know if I would. I guess I could use adjectives. It's the things, the drivers. I wake up and I focus on joy. I focus on peace and I focus on unconditional love. That's what I want to give the world. Whether the world give that back to me or not, that's fine. That's what I want to give out. And that's what I want to get out of it. But the question, who am I, is something that I struggle with. And I think most people struggle with. Could you try to use some type of assigned roles that you was given, doctor, professor, author, whatever? And I'm none of those things. You know, I'm just a person trying to live a limitless existence and hopefully my human experience inspire other sentient beings to say, you know what? I could live a limitless life and figure out whatever that life is for them and live it. So I'm just trying to be a living inspiration. I want to be God inspired. You know, I tell people, if you got a battery pack, it's God inspired that keeps me moving and doing what I do. So that's pretty much who I am. I don't know if that sort of answered anything, but I think it's kind of hard to really, you know, say who you are when we use these social constructs that was created in this world.
Yeah, I get that. You also mentioned that in some of the podcasts, that when you die, all the successes, as we call successes, don't matter at all. But let's see. As I said, you came from the streets and you were a drug dealer, early father, I think 16 years of age?
Yeah, 16. I had just turned 16. I was 16, April 5th. My daughter was born on May 27th. May 21st. Jesus Christ, I'm thinking about my brother's birthday, May 21st.
Well, my daughter's also May, but I was much older. Your daughter was already out of school probably by that age. I was thinking of the trajectories or the crossroads in your life, if we have like these 20 minutes. So what were like these big milestones, trajectory, changing things in life? And in what direction were they bringing you? I mean, it could be downwards, it could be upwards.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me was when my biological father signed over his rights when I was very young. So, and my name went from James Crummell to my father that I look at as my father adopted us and our name became James Williams. But I think what happened was I always wanted to be seen. I wanted people approval. I wanted love. I wanted to be noticed. And I think what happened is that become an addictive personality. You know, people do it now with likes and shares and, you know, attention on social media. And the attention in the social media that I had was going to school and feeling like people wouldn't bully you. They wouldn't pick on you and they'll like you, or the girls that think you look good, the guys that think you're tough, you know, you come off as a class clown. So all of those things that made me feel safe in my environment, those survival techniques or tactics is what sort of created this person that always sort of yearned or desired for the world's approval. You know, and I keep thinking about the scripture to say, be in this world, but not of this world. And if you ever try to be friends with this world, you truly are going to lose yourself in it. And I felt like I lost myself with trying to put on the mask of being a thug, being an athlete, and all these things where there are little parts that you love about it. But at the end of it, you're really trying to find out who you are and what is your purpose on this earth. So I think those are the things that sort of pigeonholed me into trying to be a thug or this idea, this tough guy and selling drugs and all of these things, because I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be liked and loved. And I felt like this environment gave me all of those things that I was looking for. And I, you know, you see girls doing it with their bodies. You see guys doing it with their bodies, or you know, with the crowd they hang around and dozing in drugs or alcohol. We all want to fit in. We all want to be accepted and be loved. And I think what I learned over the years is that once you're able to step back and say, I don't need none of that. I have everything I need. And you really, truly, truly learn to love yourself and value yourself. You realize it was all, you know, it was all just a show. It's not real. It's an illusion.
What I can hear also from some of the talks you had, it's this, you feel safe being a thug, feel safe being the strong guy. How do you feel safe doing the wrong things? Or did you know it's the wrong things? How did it feel for you to have those masks on?
I think you have two levels of it, right? So society says this is a bad thing. But in your subculture, it's this great thing. It's this thing that get you recognized. It's this thing that gets you money. It's this thing that gets you to buy some of the things that your parents can't buy, get you to get those girls that you want. It'll get you to get that respect that the world tells you need to have. You know, because when you're looking at movies, it's all about the tough guy. And the tough guy gets the girls. The tough guy is smoking. The tough guy is drinking and doing all these things. So in this subculture, those are the things that sort of attracts you. You know, you're seeing guys drive a BMW or a Mercedes and you're like, man, and they live here and all of these things. So yes, in society, you say it's wrong. So, but in my culture, it's like, it's wrong unless you get, you know, it's not wrong unless you get caught. You know what I mean? And then you're able to justify, well, I'm not killing anybody, or they're going to buy drugs from somebody else. So why not me? So you're able to justify that. And I think that's how you're able, because everything you do in life, you know, you come up with a compromise to allow your spirit to buy into it. Because I don't think any of us inherently are bad. I think we just continue to feed that wolf. And then next thing you know, we're, you know, you got people committing murders or doing whatever, because that's what they kept feeding. And I think it just, you know, you hit a crossroads and decide, well, where am I going to go? Am I going to walk the road less traveled, or am I going to go with everybody else? And yeah. I think what you have to realize is, in order to find out who you really are, you got to let go of that crowd and that group that you feel comfortable walking with and get uncomfortable.
I just remember the sharing. We were together for 10 days, I think, or something like that, 8 to 10 days. Mm-hmm. And it really was a crossroad for you on this point where you basically said, just kill me. And there's some other things happening before with some of your close friends when you said, yeah, you tell yourself, I'm not killing anyone. Others take the drugs from someone else. Why not from me? So what changed your perspective? Was it becoming a father, or what was it that you said no?
Yeah, I would love to say it was becoming a father, but it wasn't. it wasn't that. I would say my cousin said that I love to death. He was dunking a basketball in like 6th, 7th grade. We thought this guy was going to go pro, you know, and when I'm out there on the block one day, I see him come over there. And I thought he was just over there, just one of the guys, and come to find out he was a crackhead and he was a drug addict. So to see the impacts of what drugs are able to do with somebody I know, it really hit home for me. And then it was a guy that I sold drugs to that had his two kids with him. And I was trying not to look at his kids, and I told him to take his kids home. And when they were leaving, his kid made eye contact with me. And it was like my soul, you know, just connected with that kid's soul, and I just didn't feel comfortable. So it was like my days was numbered after that. I couldn't do it no more. So it wasn't the fact of, you know, being afraid to go to prison, even though I didn't want to go to prison. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm tough, I want to go to prison. But it wasn't the fear of that. It was really my morality. It got to me. I just didn't feel right. Morally, I didn't feel right doing it. So that's what really broke me away from it.
And then from there, you went into NFL, or what did you do there? Did you go back to school?
No.
Because you also fell out of school and you were running away from home and all these kind of things you share in your podcast.
So I ran away from home, and my grades, the way our school system is structured, if you flunk two classes, you're ineligible and you get held back. So I flunked, I think it was a biology class and some arts class. I don't know what it was, but it was two classes I failed. And I got into a situation where this guy was threatening to kill me. So my mom sent me to another state in Mississippi. And when I just couldn't do it there, though. I was depressed there. So I came back home and I was like, look, I need to come back here. Whatever happens, happens. So my mom put me back in school. And when I got back in school, they said I was ineligible. But my coach wanted me to play. You know, I was one of the top players coming back. So he talked to the teachers. They was able to finagle some things. I did a poster for one, and I did a project for another class. So they gave me D's. So I was able to be eligible. But at this time, I'm getting recruited by East Carolina University, which is a Division I program. And come to find out, my SAT scores and GPA didn't correlate high enough for me to get a scholarship. So I end up going to a little school called Methodist College. It's Methodist University now. And it's a D3, and I was like, man, I'm going to start. You know, I'm a Division I recruit. And when I went in, I got redshirted. So I was very, very depressed. And a redshirt just means that you can't play that year. You have to sit out. So I was depressed, and I started hanging with the Bloods and almost shot somebody. And when I almost shot somebody, that's what really changed my life. I joined the Air Force. And when I went into the Air Force, met my wife, fell in love with life. And then this lady named Sergeant Larae Chapman was like, you need to go back to college. So she taught me into going to school, and I fell in love with learning. Three college degrees later, Airman of the Year, Airman of the Quarter, well, I'm starting to feel confident in myself. So I have this idea that when I get out, I'm going to go pro. I'm going to play some pro football. So I got out of the Air Force in 2003, and I trained for about 2 years, going to regional combines and all these places, getting cut. And then I finally, you know, had an opportunity to play some arena football, and I got signed a contract, 25 contracts they gave out of 77 players. So that gave me the confidence to say, if I could do this with my body, what can I do with my mind? So that's when, you know, after those 2 years of playing ended, I decided to pursue my doctorates and then eventually my PhD.
I can see, like, step by step, your confidence was growing. And by that,
yes,
you just aimed bigger and bigger and bigger, kind of. So
Yes.
That looks great. We have like 2-3 minutes left, so let's see how we close that down. I would love to go much deeper, hopefully another time. If someone is listening now here and says he's in a bad situation and he hears you, what would be your advice to that person?
I've been really into Stoicism and Taoism. A lot of times when you see an obstacle, right? You know, you look at it like this thing is in your way. And I would say, kind of like Taoism say, what end up being in the way becomes the way. So you don't want to circumvent it. You don't want to run around it. You want to meet it head on. You know, maybe it's a relationship you're struggling with. When you're around this person, they make you feel a certain way. You got to experience it. It doesn't mean you need to keep that person in your life. They may be toxic for you, but you need to know why you feel the way you feel. What is this saying about yourself? You know, maybe it's you're afraid of heights. You need to face that fear. Maybe you're afraid of, I don't know, dogs. And I'm saying these things because these are some things that I was afraid of, that I had to face those fears, because you want to be able to live life without feeling like you're slave to anything. You want to feel free. So to me, you can't run away from those things that you see as a challenge. You got to face it. You got to face all those fears. And once you do, you get to learn a little bit more about yourself, and you see that really the joy is on the opposite side of fear. So I would tell people to try to find a way to get comfortable being uncomfortable in those situations that challenge you, and realize that's your test. And once you pass that test, you'll never have to face that test again, but there will be another test. So I think it's very, very important to meet it head on, whatever that is.
Yeah. Oh, I have so many more questions. But we're basically at the end of your time. And thank you so much, at least for the 15 minutes we had today. And I really want to go deeper. but we have to wait for another time. And I guess you have to go back to school. For me, it's sunset. That's why suddenly the light is hitting me. A bit weird. It's, I think, in 1.5 hours is sunset. So, and for you, it's, what is it, lunch break?
Yes, it's, well, it's not lunch. I actually got to run to my other office. And I'm transitioning from my director role back into faculty. So I'll be going back to faculty full time in May. But it's, yeah, right now they kind of got me playing dual roles at a university.
Yeah, and that's why the time. But let's plan for another time where we have a bit more to go deeper in Stoicism, Taoism, all these things, and a little bit deeper in your story, because there's so much more. I just got puzzle pieces through your podcast, through the time we had 4 years ago. There's so much deeper. And I'm grateful for the time you had so far. I go out and read about Ayurveda.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of, gotta say, shrooms, man. I'm a big fan of them.
Depending what shrooms you talk about with Ayurveda. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's not ayahuasca I've been talking about.
Gotcha.
Ayurveda, yeah, is the Indian science of life. Like the traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurveda.
Gotcha.
Yoga is part of Ayurveda.
Gotcha. Okay. Holistic approach to the body. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha.
I don't mind about ayahuasca either and shrooms, but only in good settings, with safe
Michael,
settings.
That's right. Absolutely.
It's nothing for recreational, let's have a party. No, it's really like mind expanding, spiritual expanding, finding the, as you said, the obstacle is the way. Find out what about the obstacle at a certain situation is where I should go further and how to look at it. If you get stuck, I see it as that.
I agree completely.
Super. Then please, people, subscribe, like, share everything. Where can people find you, James?
They can find me on everything. Check Your Life, Be Limitless. If you want to go to Instagram, it's Check Your Life, Be Limitless. If you go to YouTube, it's Check Your Life, Be Limitless. You go to Facebook. And the podcast is Check Your Life, Be Limitless. If I can do anything to you, please do not hesitate to reach out. I would definitely respond. I'm not a person that you can't get in contact with. It just may not be immediately, but I will respond.
Yeah, you have a busy life with all the things. Oh, you're an actor as well. I forgot to say that.
Yes.
So describing you, it's difficult with all these different things you tried in life. Many of the things you share today, there's like 3 or 4 people having that experience all together in one person. Super. Thank you very much. I say namaste, and until the next time.
Thank you. Be blessed, my friend.